Tell me a little bit about reading a pet. How do you do this?
Well, it's the same way you'd read a human being. You know, you just kind of tap into it, and then you feel what they feel, and then you translate those feelings into words that make sense to you. Now, sometimes you might pick up actual words, but usually you're picking up an energy, a thought. I'll tell you an example. For example, it's kind of fun. I was going to these people's house, and I started feeling their cats. I wasn't meaning to, but I did. And I told them this one cat is very irate with the other cat, and it's just getting more and more upset. It's almost like the one cat is just hurling insults and epithets at the other one. And they really didn't believe me, I don't think, because their cats go along. But I'm telling you, I honestly could not have staged this better. This one cat gets up, walks across the room, and just literally slapped the crap out of the other one. And it was just so funny because I was correct in that, but it was just like, you know, evidently they're having this little battle of minds, and, you know, nobody's even aware of it. But you just kind of translate that energy. And you don't try too hard. Again, I think that's the thing. Everybody makes it hard. You just kind of absorb it. You know, I have an ABC method. If you want me, it's really brief. I can share it with you.
Okay, yeah. People. And what is it?
ABC. I like to make things simple, all right? If you want to increase your own psychic ability, the ABCs are A for attention. You pay attention. You know, you get hunches all the time. Now, George, I know you have been thinking of somebody, and then they call you, or you run into them, or you hear about them, or something like that. You know, we all have. So when you have these things happen, you pay attention. You notice how it feels, and you might even say to yourself, you know, I knew I could do this, you know? And then B, belief. If you don't believe you can do it, you're going to thwart yourself. Even if you're doing it, you're not going to see it. So you got to have belief. And a way to enhance the belief is you do affirmations. You know, you kind of balance your energy, all the negativities in your energy. You kind of balance them out by saying, you know, I can do anything. Anything is possible. I'm the greatest psychic ever. Stuff like that. You know, and again, that helps balance out the part of you that says, no, can't be. And then finally, it's creativity. The more creative you are, the more you're going to be in tune with your psychic self. And that's basically what it comes down to. And you don't make it hard. You don't have to do some big ritual. You don't have to do anything except make a decision. I wish to be more intuitive. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to believe in myself. And I'm going to do some creative stuff. I might go arrange some flowers or paint a picture or just whatever.
All right, somebody's pet passes on. What do they do? How can they contact the animal? Should they?
I don't know that you should. I think everybody should have to make their own decision about that. I think that what you can do, though, if a person or a pet, whatever, passes, just talk to them. Talk to them like it's still there. You can make it a big deal if you want to. You can, like, kind of breathe through your nose and out your mouth until you get yourself really relaxed. And then imagine that pet or person. Imagine that if you're so strong with it, if you're opening your eyes, they'd be right there in the room with you. And when you do that, just kind of talk. You know, I really miss you and this and that, or, you know, I wanted to tell you this and whatnot. And when you feel done with that, kind of breathe a little more, you know, and kind of imagine yourself back where you are. And this is one exercise that can help you actually send your thoughts and emotions, whatever, through the veil. And then after maybe that first time, you can just talk. You know, you're riding in your car. You might just feel somebody there. Talk to them. Just, you know, I miss you. I'm having a hard time. What would you think about this? And then kind of see what pops in your mind. Kind of see what evolves. Again, if you try to make it happen, if you force it, it's not going to happen. You kind of got to let it just be easy. But so many people that have had people and or pets pass on, they report back, you know, Josh Warren, your friend, my friend and yours, or your acquaintance, my acquaintance, whatever. You know, he wrote a book about this.
Yeah.
And actually, he wrote a story in the book about where I saw my little dog Wren just dart under what we call the her warehouse. And I'm not looking for her, but I saw her. And there's been a couple of times since then. I think I see her, and then it'll turn out to be another pet. But I believe her energy's there. I really do. And I believe that's what I'm perceiving.
So you do believe that there is an afterlife for an animal?
I believe there is. I tell you what, I do. I believe now there's a shared spirit of animals. Like, I believe there is a shared spirit of, for example, the eagle, the shared spirit of the snake or whatever, the buffalo, you know. But I believe when it comes to our pets, maybe animals that we've kind of helped create, you know, by breeding them to be, you know, domestic animals and whatnot, I honestly believe that they do embody spirits, and I think they're here to work out a spiritual purpose with us. Maybe they're here to teach us about having power, of having unconditional love, you know, of drawing that out of us and responsibility. And I think that they're a very important part of our work. I really do.
Tell me why you're interested in indigo children.
Well, I just noticed, you know, we were talking about earlier about how there may be more and more people like me, Lord help them all, that's coming into this planet. And I believe those are the indigo children. Now, some people say that maybe they were used to be from Atlantis or Lemur or whatever.
Lemuria.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm telling you again, it's middle of the night here, okay?
Well, you're doing
but
okay.
Anyway, I'm thinking that maybe that's true. All I can tell you is that I perceive more and more children that blow your mind. They're 7 or 8 years old, going on about 30. And I don't mean in a sophisticated way that's not so healthy, like, you know, they're learning too much too soon. I mean there's an essence to them. They know things. They see things. They're like almost... There's a naturalness about them, and I think they're here for special purpose, and we're going to see it. And some of them are going to have a hard time because, you know, like we already talked about too, if you're like this, you're really sensitive, and being confined and doing the routine type things, it's not too easy, you know. But I think they're here to maybe help with the healing of this planet. How, I don't know. I just think that's what they're here for.
Here's a fast blast in from someone from your neck of the woods, Rob from Arkansas, and he says, even though you're from North Carolina, that's close, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, energy vampires need love, too. I'm one in a big way. I'm a bummer because I cause and force people to think about unpleasant realities. It's my spiritual job. It's not easy. I just care about the future more than myself. All that glitters isn't gold.
You know, I'm wondering if he's truly a vampire or if he's more of just someone who is a provoker.
What's a provoker?
Doing exactly what he says, being in your face and saying, think about this. Come outside your comfort zone. See outside the box. So I'm thinking that maybe he doesn't suck the energy out of people so much as maybe he slams some energy into people, forcing them to look at things in a new way.